Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Well, we have an information-packed transmission lined up for you today. It is, of course, Wednesday, the 20th day of July, 2011, and we're going to be live here for at least the next 3 hours. We have James Corbett, who I thought was joining us yesterday, joining us today to give us his take on the whole News Corp scandal that's threatening to bring down the Prime Minister and the head of News Corp, Rupert Murdoch. Tony Gosling, BBC researcher, radio talk show host, the proprietor of Bilderberg.org, he'll be joining us with James Corbett of the Corbett Report. Webster Tarpley on the latest on Libya. Is Gaddafi really going to step down? Will the ground invasion set for late September, early October be called off? What about the press reports of Berlusconi, the El Presidente of Italia, of Italy, reportedly being involved shipping the arms into Gaddafi? Well, we know the British government was. That's on record, including Gordon Brown before him and Tony Blair, before David Cameron. So it's a barrel of snakes, and those three guests are joining us today, but not until the midway point or the point of no return at 12:30 Central Standard Time today. Now, if you're watching on PrisonPlanet.tv, we can show you this giant array of news. And I talk about this a lot. Every day, every week, it gets crazier and crazier. The news contained here is evidence of everything we talked about 16 years ago, a decade ago, 5 years ago, coming true. It's all here. Genetically engineered crops designed to sterilize you. Government taking baby's blood at birth. Bioweapons programs, toll roads you pay for three times, global government, bank receivership, dollar complete devaluation, police with retina scanners at checkpoints taking blood, and then a lot of other really bizarre, crazy stuff in the mix. You know, a federal court will rule that if you accidentally serve a Hindu a pastry with some meat in it, that you're liable. But if the TSA wants to grab your child's genitals and violate federal and state law, it's okay. Or I've seen federal court rulings where criticizing the police can get you in jail. But then there's been a federal court ruling that a man was allowed to say that he wanted to kill Obama. That's in the LA Times today. So a lot of really bizarre stuff. And by the way, I read his supposed free speech. It is a call to action. And I'm a public figure. I don't like a precedent where, but this goes for anybody, where somebody can say, I'm going to kill you and you don't get in trouble. I am for any type of speech, 110%, until you cross the line with a call to action. And the minute you say, well, we ought to go kill this person, or we ought to go kill that person. Number one, if you're actually going to go try to kill somebody, well, how about you not talk about it? That's another good rule. But here's another statement. The last thing we want is for anything to happen to President Obama. That would turn this lame duck, destroyed burnout globalist personality into a martyr. So we want to take good care of Obama. So down the road, when we take the Republic back, Obama and his cohorts and the Republican Party as well can have nice prison cells where they're going to live out the rest of their lives, and where we can basically have them on display. Even the Bible talks about once Satan's defeated, he'll be on display for 1,000 years. That's a good idea.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
It is Wednesday, the 20th day of July, 2011. We've got a jam-packed roster of guests joining us in the second hour of transmission today. I'll tell you more about those guests coming up, but we're going to break down the Libya situation. Is war on or isn't it? I mean, we know the continued bombardment is ongoing, but is ground invasion going to happen, as the military has been told to be ready for, in late September, early October? I certainly hope it's off the table, because if it isn't, it is going to be a huge casualty-causing event. That's death for folks that don't know their military terms, for our military and the Libyan military and the Libyan people, most importantly. So we're going to be going over that with Webster Griffin Tarpley, economist and doctor of history. James Corbett of the Corbett Report will be joining us, and Tony Gosling, a reporter from England, on the huge scandal now, that is threatening to bring down the Prime Minister of England, David Cameron, and the head of News Corp, Rupert Murdoch. I got some into this today, but later I want to be reminded by the producers to get back into the fact that 4 months ago, Media Matters memo went public, and they admitted it was their memo, that they would get hired at Fox and sabotage and infiltrate to, quote, destroy them. And I made the point that if I tried to get my employees hired into competitors' operations, that's espionage. Not that I have any competitors. As I've said, I'm not in an industry. I'm not in a business. I'm on a mission to restore the republic and the spirit of 1776 worldwide, a rediscovery of freedom. But this is serious crimes admitted by Judicial Watch, similar to what we see News Corp doing. And so I say burn Rupert Murdoch and burn George Soros. Burn them all. This selective enforcement stuff, though, really gets me mad. And if you're not going to enforce across the board, well, then leave Rupert Murdoch alone. I'd rather just have anarchy and everybody fend for themselves if you're not going to enforce it across the board. You know, it's better that 10 guilty men go free than one innocent man go to prison or be executed. I've got some good news before I plunge into all of the news and information I have in front of me. I have a tendency to always kick the broadcast off with some observation I've made of the media. I don't watch a lot of television, but I do monitor talk radio on XM, Sirius. Got Sirius in the house, XM in the car. Same company, but different channels. It's a smorgasbord, some of the same channels on each. I listen religiously to talk radio late at night when I'm reading, and I scan the dial online and on the AM dial. And the good news is liberal shows, conservative, libertarian, rock and roll shows. I was listening to the Dudley and Bob show on 93.7 FM here in town, the KLBJ FM twin of the AM I'm on, 590. And the callers were making jokes about it, and the host were. They don't normally talk about serious issues, about how ridiculous it is that the main star witness who could bring down the police for bribery, and we've already had the two police chiefs resign in London, the Metro Police Commissioner and the head of Scotland Yard, and could bring down the Prime Minister, confirmed to be involved in it. I mean, the head guy running the whole operation was his head media director from News Corp in Cameron's camp. Cameron's a kept politician, Rupert Murdoch, that's not debated, his little political mistress, you could say. And you've got this huge scandal, News Corp execs arrested, and magically the star witness dies and then tells his friends they're after me, they're threatening to kill me. And then the newspapers, I read quotes yesterday, are calling it a conspiracy theory. You're a conspiracy theorist if a guy's saying they're after me, I've got to hide, don't if anybody asks if I'm home, I'm not, hiding out in the house with his lights off. And he dies, and the police within 20 minutes come out and say, and I love the shows I've been listening to, are all reading the quotes, that we don't believe there's any foul play, and this appears to not be suspicious, and so we're not opening a criminal investigation. A star witness dies. I mean, you better have the most complex autopsies on earth done on this guy. The poisons corporations can get a hold of, that governments can get a hold of. Remember, of the 100 biggest economies in the world, 50 plus are not governments or countries. They are corporations. I told you last week, if this continued, look for deaths. I've told you that if Congress doesn't drop fast and furious against the ATF caught shipping guns into Illinois with the FBI and DEA, into Texas, into Florida, folks, they're shipping guns into gangs everywhere. There's gangs that work for the government, and there's gangs that get killed by the gangs that work for the government. It's called the Untouchables. It's called the real mafia structure in America. And if one gang gets uppity and happens to beat the gang muscle that works for the big banks that control the police, they send in police hit teams. And every major police department has a squad of hitmen. And that's come out in Boston. It's come out in New York. It's come out in L.A. It was the first place it came out in the 60s. They got teams of men with badges and guns, and when they hit hard. Okay? I don't have to sit here and explain this to people. I shouldn't have to, but stop acting like little children. You better admit how corrupt and rotten we've gotten. Oh, you don't think the banks are involved in narcotics trafficking? $500 billion a year just in cocaine and heroin coming into the U.S., laundered in banks that have all been caught laundering it and don't get in trouble. Small bank gets caught, they go to jail. That happens all the time. Competitors get caught, they go to jail. Police have been caught in every major department in the country living in multi-million dollar houses and driving brand new Corvettes with drugs. And then it's not enough to go shake down the drug dealers. Now they pull you over in Dallas on record, throw a bag of chalk in the back of your brand new Mercedes and take it. No judge, no jury. Asset forfeiture seizure. Federal law. All right, you see I'm now ranting and I'm going to burn up this entire hour and I've got so much news. It's almost like... Before you exercise, you're about to go on that little two-mile jog, you're out of shape like I am, and you kind of hesitate and kind of stretch for a while, and you're like, oh, man, this is going to be quite a marathon here, and you don't really get to it. Ladies and gentlemen, the news before me. This stuff is insane. But getting back to what I was saying, the good news is every radio show I listen to, and I've never heard something like this, every show... Local talk, rock shows, country stations, because I scan through the dial, are all making jokes and laughing at the government and giggling when they say, oh, you're a conspiracy theorist if you question that the police within 20 minutes of the guy being found dead said, it's nothing, no foul play, move along. I mean, I could be hiding in my house saying, help me, they said they're coming to kill me, and then I'm found dead, and the police show up and say, nothing going on. There's still no criminal investigation in L.A. with one of the richest men in America, this big pharma owner. He owns one of the big three pharma companies, and his son falls down the stairs, goes into a coma, and dies. Then his girlfriend, who was watching the child when it reportedly happened, is found hanging off the front balcony, her mouth bound, her arms and legs bound, hanging dead. She's taking care of the kid. Dad gets mad that his son's in a coma. Kid's now died. Somebody dies. The point is, even if it's a crime of passion, and I'm not saying the dad did it, and I'm saying he might be a suspect. Let me see, his son's in a coma, the woman watching him, the girlfriend, the hot girlfriend, she is found obviously murdered. And the police say, we don't think there's anything, you can read the quotes, I forget the exact quote, something like, we don't really see anything suspicious, and we're not looking at this right now as foul play being involved. You can pull up the quotes in both cases, they're very similar. Something like that. Even more ridiculous when you read it. I read it on the show Monday, the quotes out of that case. And I hear the shows, not all of them, but several of the shows brought that case up too. Because it's just so ridiculous. And then if you say, hey, cops, obviously these are murders. You need to have suspects. You need to open a criminal investigation. And their answers in both cases in newspapers are, well, conspiracy theorists are saying we should look into this, but that's ridiculous. Now, that said, let me give you a smattering of the news that's coming up. Some of it's good, some of it's bad, some of it's ugly. Now, I've already seen this in scientific studies, but this goes to the heart of why people, some people won't wake up to the corruption and then allow it to grow to their own detriment. Peer pressure causes people to literally alter their memories of recent events. Yeah, no kidding. Also, Fukushima plant stabilized, TEPCO claims. They've lied so much, but we hope that's the truth. We were told it was stabilized 2 days after it happened, while reactors were blowing up in mushroom clouds. And the radioactive isotope showed massive fission had occurred. Continuing here, FBI arrests 16 anonymous hacker crackdown. It turns out this group of anonymous is, quote, attacking the New World Order. All of this is being done right on time to try to pass the Cybersecurity Act. DOJ and FBI make arrest in PayPal hacking case. Feds indict hacktivists for stealing public domain data. We're going to be going over all that. Health Body backs free birth control for women, but moves ahead with the death panels to ration care. And now Bill Gates and Time Magazine go, you know what? There really were death panels in there, and it's good. You don't need to have an eye surgery when you're 65. How about a cane? You don't need to get that knee worked on. How about another cane? You know, you can't see, use a cane. Can't walk, use a cane. We'll go with the free healthcare model of Cuba. Also, GOP warns again of Obamacare rationing, and it has begun with these panels. Medicare announces, again, it will continue to cover drugs, even if the FDA bans them as dangerous for humans. I'm not going through the top stories first. I'm just, oh, here's another one. UN Security Council to consider climate change peacekeepers. Oh, yes, they're calling them green helmets. This is all part of State Department Memorandum 200. Also, carbon price battle is lost, say experts. Good news from Australia. CERN scientists gagged on politically incorrect global warming data. Okay, I haven't even scratched the tip of the iceberg.
Everybody knows that the days are loaded. Everybody rolls with their fingers crossed. Everybody knows the war is over. Everybody knows
the good guys lost. All right, I'm going to continue in this short segment just going over the waterfront of news, and I'm coming back and getting into it in more detail. Then the entire first 30 minutes of the second hour will be open phones. Now, continuing with the story I was telling earlier before I get back into just the headlines here and a brief analysis before I dive back into the top stories. The good news is everybody does know that the dice are loaded, that the fight was fixed, that the bad guys have won. But people don't believe they have power, and they believe that they're alone. They don't know that everybody knows. Everybody at the end of the day knows this country is going in the wrong direction, that we've entered a very decadent cycle of civilization. But people feel powerless. Folks, when you get involved, when you speak out, when you say no to corruption, when you don't submit to unconstitutional activity, you politically and physically sabotage evil. You slow it down. And you give humanity time to develop strategies to defeat these people. We're having a lot of victories. And the reason we're starting to have victories against the globalists is because people like myself and others were willing to be criticized. We're willing to be laughed at. We're willing to be attacked. Ron Paul 35 years ago, myself 16 years ago, many others going back more than 50 years were willing to be demonized. We're willing to have the FBI try to plant hand grenades in their garage, like Bob Chapman. He's had to leave the country because he kept beating him in court and they kept coming after him for other things. A lot of people paid with their lives so that this information, common sense, could be mainline again. And so that's the great important news, is that more and more when I listen to talk radio, I hear the information I talk about being discussed. And I hear people not buying it when a woman is obviously murdered and the police say she wasn't. Or when they obviously, it's a hit when the star witness dies and tells folks they're coming after me. It's obviously a hit when they kill the DC madam. And I told her on air, I said, you better tell folks you're not going to commit suicide. She said, I never will. And I said, listen, you need to release the full names of your client list or they're going to kill you. And she said, well, I'm going to hold on to that. And I said, that's a bad move. And they murdered her. And she told her condo manager she was good friends with, she says, I'm getting some documents to my mom before I've got to go to prison. People are following me. And, of course, they killed her. They grabbed her. They hung her in her mom's shed, her elderly mother's shed, and got the documents out of the car. And I even had her manager of the condo send me her lease, and it was not even her handwriting. The handwriting of her suicide note looked like it was a completely different hand. It wasn't that it was a bad fake. It was shoddily done. They might as well have drawn it in Crayola. But see, now they don't even write fake suicide notes. I mean, you got a woman hanging, gowned and bound and gagged, dead, and the police in L.A. say no investigation. And, you know, they kill this guy in England, star witness. No investigation. Just forget suicide notes. You know what? We just found the body. Case closed. Why is the system, why has the United Nations come out in the last year? We got the documents a year ago. Actually, News Corp did. And the UN admits they're real. And they say a year ago, we're going to move now to openly saying humans are bad. Yes, we want to reduce population. That's what carbon taxes are about. We're going to move away from global warming to just weather change, period, is unnatural. The sun doesn't affect climate. It's all humans. Humans are bad. We got to get rid of them. And now you see them announcing that's their official policy. And hey, you know what? We are eugenicists. And since alternative media is becoming the media and exposed us, we'll just hide in plain view. See, when they would just deny all of this, it's better. Because it'll wake up even the most brain dead. 3.5 years ago, when they came out with the film New World Order, or I guess 3 years ago, it was during Democratic primaries, and Obama and the Secret Service and Hillary drive by the Secret Service with Secret Service plates, aims machine guns at us on video. The media saying, where's Hillary? Where's Obama? They gave the media the split in Virginia by Dulles Airport. We're right by the airport. It's Bilderberg. We call the media, hey, they're here. Media laughs at us. There's no such thing as Bilderberg. So I videotape all this and videotape world leaders there. And then the New York Times comes out and says, Alex Jones was having a full-on schizophrenic event, imagining all of this, when they reviewed the film. Because they hate their readers. They think you're dumb. So they said there's no Bilderberg, there was no Hillary or Obama, and Alex was literally in a park by a hotel having a full-on hallucination. Man, thank you, New York Times. I mean, even the dumbest people know you're a pack of liars.
I have sworn upon the altar of God eternal hostility against every form of tyranny over the mind of man. Thomas Jefferson. It's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Well, I will certainly second what Thomas Jefferson had to say. What about you? Or do you agree with FEMA and the police training manuals that demonize George Washington and Thomas Jefferson and call them terrorists? And they tell the police we're fighting modern-day terrorists, these people that won't compromise on the Constitution, Bill of Rights. And you see all the Time magazines and Newsweek articles everywhere. It's time to get rid of the Constitution. It caused the problems. And now I'm actually hearing that parroted by trendies. Oh, the Constitution's old. We need something new. No, the Constitution's new in history. What the establishment is trying to bring back is classical tyranny, monopoly, groups of ultra-powerful enslaving people. That's the old system. The republic, the light of the world, the example of freedom. I'm getting chills. That's 1776. Have you actually read the founders' quotes, their letters, their debates, their statements? Have you studied politics? Do you know how to read U.S. code? Have you studied court cases? I have. And I've interviewed hundreds of top legal scholars, and they all agree it is a beautiful document, and that's why it's under assault. We're in trouble because we've allowed it to be overturned. No one debates that the Constitution has pretty much been overturned. And then now that they've overturned it, they're blaming the blight that's on our republic, the tyranny that's here on the Constitution? That'd be like if you fired an employee and 2 years later, somebody was let the sink overflow, left the sink on, and you blame Bob, who you fired 2 years ago. All right, I'm going to shut up and get into the news here. Okay, so I already mentioned this stuff. FBI arrest 16, an anonymous hacker crackdown. We're going to get into that. 20 signs that the fabric of American society is coming apart at the seams. I'm going to get to that. Peer pressure causes people to literally alter their memories of recent events. This shows why a lot of people are like in a trance and they'll buy whatever ridiculous story they're told. But there's a breaking point. As the system gets more and more corrupt, as it gets more and more out in the open, as their cover stories get more and more ridiculous, you're going to have those that will buy anything they're told, get deeper into delusion, and you're going to have others who kind of wake up from their delusion and become more and more awake as things get more obvious. Things are not going well for the social engineers. We've also got the death panels. So we're going to be breaking that down. They're here. And all the, quote, trendies denied the death panels existed, made jokes about it. You know, Stephen Colbert made jokes about it. Well, it's all in there, and they admit, case for killing granny. Cover of Newsweek. Hey, you know, Ted Turner says, kill old people. You know, get rid of them. We've got Bill Gates coming out saying, hey, death panels are good. I mean, I can play the clip of him. These people aren't playing games. They always, oh, there's no Bilderberg group. Well, yeah, they're meeting right there. Here's their own documents. Shut up, doesn't exist. They play a Jedi mind trick on you. These aren't the droids you're looking for. Move along. And then you buy into it because of the peer pressure. And they've got a big study out on this. A big study. I've seen countless others. There's a new big study out where if a barn door is red, but you're in a sports stadium and the authority figure in the top hat says the barn door is blue, the majority of people will see it as the color he says. Doesn't matter the barn door is really red. It's like if you're watching on PrisonPlanet.tv, the TV slide behind me says Infowars.com in red. But if I was in a sports stadium of people and I was the authority figure, and people saw me as the authority figure, if I said, that's blue, and especially if I had a group of experts up there with me who said, yes, it's blue, the majority of people would actually see it as blue. But again, that's coming up. This is the mind control. That's why the cops say, yeah, she's hanging with her feet and legs, arms and legs bound, dead. We don't see anything, any signs of foul play here. We're not even going to do an investigation when they're supposed to, regardless. You know, they go to an 85-year-old man's house who looks like he's died of a heart attack. They've got to do an investigation. But they just tell you, hey, you know, this isn't a murder. Move along. Move along. It's time to break that trance. They're intentionally trying to get you deeper into that trance right now. Okay, here's the other big news I'll be breaking down. UN Security Council to consider climate change peacekeeping. I'm going to break down what's behind that. Carbon price battle is lost, experts say. Brisbane Times, really good news. In Ireland, in Australia, in many areas, no matter how much they propagandize, the public know it is a scam. Then they ran a hoax the other day saying that Lord Monckton is not a lord, even though he's an hereditary lord and peer of the crown on record. Not that it even matters. They tried to say, well, he's officially not a voting member of the House of Lords. Well, yeah, because they just voted to get rid of that, and now they've created political lords who are the new royalty and have voting power. But he's a hereditary lord. It's like saying Queen Elizabeth isn't the Queen of England. So there's this big, oh, that guy's a fake pretender to royalty, to being a peer. And then it turns out it's all a hoax. And, you know, his passport says he's a lord and everybody knows he's a lord and going back generations. And this is how they do it. So it's totally imploding in Australia. So while he's there, they run this hoax that he's a fake because tens of thousands are coming out to hear him speak now instead of just thousands. And so they're panicking. So they run the hoax. He's not a lord. He's a fake. He's a fraud when they're the frauds. So carbon price battle is lost. Political experts believe the battle to sell carbon tax to the Australian public has been lost and the Prime Minister can do nothing to change voters' minds on the issue. And it goes through all the numbers on that. 61% do not believe any of it. Continuing, more on CERN scientists gagged on politically incorrect global warming data. Oh, guess what their study found with the particles mimicking the sun's particles? It's the sun not just heating the Earth, but creating the nuclei to form water vapor that forms clouds and then condensation. Wow, man, I needed CERN. It cost 50-something million dollars to tell me that. Okay. All righty. And then they gag them. Oh, the scientists found the sun's what runs our climate more than anything else. Wow, let's gag them. Do I need scientists to tell me that fish swim, that the sky's blue, that Al Gore is a man-bear pig? I mean, do I need to even research Al Gore, which I've done, to just look at him and go, alert, danger, Will Robinson. Danger, Will Robinson. Danger, danger. That's a big fat con man. I love that clip we've got in Fall of the Republic. I don't love it. I kind of cry, but, you know, in a laughing gallows humor way, where he's on Larry King Live with his smug fake attitude, obviously lying. And Ross Perot's going, listen, Larry, within a decade, if we put NAFTA into place, it will destroy the wages. Okay, Canada had $5 an hour average more than us, but those jobs all went to the United States under a trade deal. Well, Mexico, their average pays $1 an hour or lower. You will hear a giant sucking sound. It will destroy the middle class and what's left of our industrial base, Larry. And Al Gore, you can just tell Ross Perot was straight shooting, total body language, plus the facts were true. You got to judge both. Al Gore's with this you-know-what-eating grins, like, laughing at Perot. Listen, Larry, this study I have here shows it's going to double jobs in just 2 years. This is a good deal, Larry. Yeah, and women hanging with their arms and legs bound from front porches dead. There's no sign of foul play, and everything's wonderful, and oh, my gosh, the sun doesn't affect the climate. Okay, shut up, Alex. Get to the news. It's like Dr. Strangelove, you know, where he can't control himself. Okay, I wanted to mention this because there's all these big news articles about how evil it is to have more than two children. Some are saying even one is bad. And my wife's had people at Whole Foods march up to her and obviously jealous that, you know, they waited to have kids till too late. Generally, it's always an archetype, and mad that my wife has, you know, these incredibly beautiful, wonderful, vibrant children that aren't brain damaged from vaccines. And they'll say, you've got too many kids. Of course, I'm glad they've done that with me, because I'd say, get out of my face, you witch. I mean, literally. Get away from my children, scumbag. But I did a video titled Death-Loving Media Attacks Children. And I got into some examples of this, and I saw a comment, well, a bunch of them actually, by P. Marie 2003 39 minutes ago, but it's she's P. Marie 2003, and she's agreeing with another individual, Kevin Morias, and it says. That's that handle. It says, exactly. What is wrong with eugenics? Eugenics is what brought Alex the wonderful food he had for lunch. It gives us premium Egyptian cotton, dogs that can detect trapped victims, huge horses that pull plows for Amish, thornless blackberry plants. I'd like to propose we spay-neuter anyone on the left side of the IQ bell curve. Wouldn't that help? It sure can't hurt. And I could talk for an hour, but I'm not, just about that mindset and that attitude. These are people who are wannabe elitist. And what they don't understand is the globalists are targeting them as well. If you actually study the eugenics war, they're putting bisphenol A in their products. They're putting sodium fluoride in their water. They're putting cancer viruses in their vaccines. Every major GMO crop has the side effect, and it turns out, we've talked to industry insiders, that's the real effect. You're told, oh, it's so the tomato lasts longer, but it's also had a system flipped in it to create enzymes that reduce fertility, autoimmune disorders, you name it. I mean, we're talking in every major study, within 3 to 5 generations, the rats, the guinea pigs, are deformed and can't have babies, can't procreate. And you see the wages of this, doubling in cancer the last decade, doubling in diabetes. I mean, pull those numbers up. Just type in diabetes doubles in last decade. Here, let's put it on the screen for them, not just from last week. Then I found an article from 10 years ago where it doubled from that. 200% increase in 20 years. How many medical doctors I have to get on this show for you to talk about how 50 years ago, if there was a child with cancer, they would fly medical students across the country to see him. It was like seeing Elephant Man or something. It was like seeing a seventh wonder of the world. Now, there's kids, you go to the mall, there's kids with their chemo injectors on their arms, bald-headed, and you know they're just sucking the money out of the family before they put them in the grave. There it is, diabetes rate doubles worldwide. And what source is that from? Scroll up the top for me, please. I remember a source, of course, was that's Fox News. But again, we don't just believe Fox News. What was the study? And it was a worldwide study. Let's scroll down a little bit. That was June 27th. The number of adults suffering from type 2 diabetes has more than doubled across the globe. And it goes on, the research has found rates of type 2 diabetes, which is the lifestyle factors linked to obesity, increased and remain the same in this part of the world with 347 million people currently affected. And it goes on to break that down. That's even different numbers than I saw. Okay, because the reports I saw said doubled in the last 10 years. Okay, now, let me just continue with the rest of some of the news I've got here. Back to this eugenics. So, they just make this statement about let's sterilize, spay-neuter, the term for cats and dogs. We're animals. And you got to love, most of these pointy head people have 2 degrees from a college, so they're the accepted priest class, but they're working at the local grocery store. And then they look hatefully when you go through the line. You know, you've got the dad that started businesses from nothing, didn't even finish high school. He's got his beautiful wife, his 3 kids. He's 100 times more street smart than they are. He can skin a buck, run a trot line. At the end of the day, his IQ is really higher. And you got this loser sitting there with all their degrees lecturing them about paper, plastic, and look at your kids. You shouldn't have so many kids. I'll guarantee you this person, if you go and we ought to try to interview him, I'll guarantee you it's a woman who hadn't had kids, so she's bitter about it. So she externalizes it and then hates families. I'll guarantee you that it's somebody who says we'd be better off with humans at the end of the day. But again, let's spay-neuter anyone on the left side of the IQ bell curve. But what happens once you've sterilized them? And if you were so smart, you'd know systems are always gamed or people buy out of it. So who's going to set what the IQ tests are? Who's going to determine those? Or there's a lot of idiot savants who can engage in great art, great music, or have a great capacity for love, who are loving people that isn't measured by your stupid chart. Are we going to sterilize them? Well, yeah, that's what they did to, well, really millions of Americans, but on record 500 plus thousand from the 1920s to 1987 when it officially ended. No, this whole eugenics situation is just an attitude. It's an attitude where they just dehumanize you. You know, what did the state board say when they were asked, why are more than 2/3 of foster kids in Texas on an average of 7 psychotropic drugs, mirroring the national average? And the head of the board said, because they got bad gene pools. And the state rep said, well, what's your proof? Well, they just do. Oh, that's real science. You got a bad gene pool, so we're going to come take you from your parents. And then some good doctors, the only reason this came out, there were state hearings 4 years ago, it's in my film Endgame, because a lot of doctors that were involved with CPS said, look, we took healthy, happy kids for, you know, too much dog hair on the sofa or dishes in the sink. And I watched these kids as a CPS doctor go from being on the football team in the sixth grade to being in wheelchairs. They put them on so many drugs. Then you start having convulsions. Then they put you on more. Then they have a brain surgery because they make more money off of a screwed up kid. And if you're lucky enough for them not to kill you, they just dump you off when your mind is wiped and you're one of those homeless zombies who, you know, talking to themselves. This is what they do. It's factories of death. And you just get some, they're always so stupid, you know, the head psychiatrist on the board, he can barely talk. He's like, they've come from bad gene pools. You come from a bad gene pool, punk. If you had good genes, you'd know you got to lift up the weak. If you had good genes, you'd understand that humans don't feed on each other. We don't take our predatory instinct to hunt wild bison or to hunt cave cat or to go fishing and spearing fish in the water. We don't take that and then use it against our own species. That is an aberrism of the agrarian city-state society that has now turned into an institutionalized tropism. And it will be the end of our species. It is a warping of the Eloi and the Morlocks. We're supposed to be warlike Eloi, not Morlocks feeding on Eloi, as H.G. Wells admitted that was an archetype for how the elite actually operate. We are supposed to take our warlike instincts of survival in the Ice Age and the rest of it and point that into space travel and giant, complex, free market systems of unlimited potential. But you let a bunch of inbred, globalist, psychopath control freaks run thing, they will kill each other in the end. It's their instinct. They have a deep hatred of humanity. I have a deep love of humanity and a desire to lift it up. And eugenics is the opposite. It's actually waging war against the intelligent.
Waging war on corruption. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Here's some of the police state news, the good news and the bad news. This is out of CBS 4 Denver. No felony charges will be filed against the Colorado woman who allegedly sexually assaulted a Transportation Security Administration agent in Phoenix. And reportedly, the TSA person grabbed her breasts, so she grabbed theirs. No. It's only a felony when you grab them back. But the prosecutors have dropped the case, so that's good news. The attorney for her said her client was violated, endangered, and threatened by the actions of TSA agents. She denies doing anything wrong. Oh, you just grabbed my breast? I'll grab yours. Oh, we're tackling you and arresting you. See, they're not going to be able to sell this stuff unless we're in a trance-like state. One of my crew members was bringing up Darren Brown. That's his name, right? The hypnotist on these shows where the person says they want a blue bike. He convinces them that they always wanted a red bike. And if you look at the morons they screen for the show, that's why a hypnotist magician will get five or six people up on stage and do little tests to find who the most suggestible is. And then through television and culture, they're trying to make us suggestible. More suggestible. The television lowers the brainwave rates on average while you're watching it. And then it makes it easier for you to get back into that phase. There's another, again, getting to it next hour, big study out showing how people are incredibly suggestible and will change memories on the spot for peer pressure. And that's all that's happening with Darren Brown. He's conning you, claiming slapping his hands and the words that he's using are what is getting you to go under mind control. It's peer pressure. The people decide to be conned. It's pure bull. Only weak minds would be involved in such a thing. It's all flim-flam. All these control freaks, all these weak people. You know, they think subliminal messages are powerful. They think they're going to get power out of them. It doesn't have power. It doesn't have power. It doesn't have power. When you're aware of it, when you're aware the carbon scam is a scam, no matter how much they say your children are going to die if you don't pay David Rockefeller and Lord Rothschild money, it doesn't matter. You know it's a fraud. It's like somebody you work with that you've caught lying over and over again. You finally know they're liars, and you're not going to put up with their bull anymore. They manipulate good people to be gullible. Stop being gullible. They think you're so gullible, the government murders people every week, shoots them, cuts them up, hangs them upside down, tied up, and then tells you they weren't murdered. Oh, I've had enough. Okay, so the good news is the prosecutors are like, well, they grabbed your breast. Well, okay, we're letting you off. Good, that's humanity. Don't be toady prosecutors. Don't be toady juries. If you think somebody really violated the law, but the law is a fraud, let them go. That's what the founders said do. Just because the government tells you jury nullification doesn't exist, the Supreme Court's rules, you're supposed to rule on the facts as well as the law. Continue. here. City council attempts to outlaw free speech and freedom of assembly. Again, they're seeing what they can get away with all over the country. Quartzsite, Gould, Arkansas, areas in Michigan can't have a garden. Now you can't pack your children's school lunch, and they're just seeing if you'll do what they say. You can't assemble any group, pro-gun group, bird watching, no group bigger than three people. And they do it with a straight face, and the city council goes on the news and defends it and says, we are the bosses. And it's a mind control game. It's an Agenda 21 beta test. This is going on all over the world. They're doing stuff like this in Australia, too, and in England. They got groups like Common Purpose running it in England. Oh, my gosh. We got a lot of other news. Stay with us. It's all important.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, we're into hour number two. Thank you so much for joining us. Webster Griffin Tarpley joins us to break down the latest on Libya and the economy coming up in 30 minutes. James Corbett and Tony Gosling both joining us, one from Japan, one from the UK, on the giant scandal with Rupert Murdoch. And the not suspicious death from the time he died, the star witness who could have brought down the Prime Minister and Murdoch, from the time he died, the police, who were also under investigation, said it's not foul play. So move along. But we're not going to move along just because they said so. Now, that's called being an extremist. If you turn the porch light on at night before you step off the steps, that's a conspiracy theory. If you question, if you gauge, I'm starting to think if you have eyes, ears, smell, taste, touch, the five senses is extremism. Again, having an opinion is extremism, is conspiracy theory. And I talk more and more about this because the hoax is now reaching biblical proportions. You've heard all the important news I've thrown out. I haven't even gotten to the top stories. I'm going from right to left over here to the most important quadrant of news. And I'll intersperse this throughout your calls and our guests coming up. But the toll-free number to join us is 1-800-259-9231. And, oh, it's first-time callers in this 30-minute block. 1-800-259-9231 on any of the news items, any of the issues that I've raised, or any questions or comments that you have. If you'd like to call in and accuse me of being a reptoid that works for the Vatican, I like to hear about that as well. It's important to not cover issues and actually talk about mindless conspiracies. 800, I'm being sarcastic, 800-259-9231. Some of the news I have not gotten to yet is this report here out of Texas and Indiana. And we told people this would happen. We told folks in Endgame, we told people in countless radio interviews, Central Texas toll roads need more state subsidies than expected. So you pay for the toll road because they're existing roads, most of them. That's illegal, but it's still done. Bush signed a waiver, executive order. Guess he's king. Who needs Congress? Who needs laws? For existing roads, we made toll roads. You pay for it that time. You pay for it with the tolls. And now you're going to pay for it with billions and billions of dollars in Texas and Indiana and other states. This is how Centra does business, the Spanish company all over the world, biggest toll road company in the world. Just like Goldman Sachs is the biggest banking takeover arm in the world because they know how to come in, finance your politicians in a long-term game, take over your roads, and just absolutely rape the living daylights out of you. So we're going to be getting into that report. Also, more on the complete and total fiction, just mindless fiction of the Republican leadership. I've seen reports of Boehner, running around threatening junior House members, freshmen who are Tea Partiers, saying you've got to get behind raising the debt ceiling and 10 years, $1.5 trillion of cuts, which is cuts. None of it means anything, as Ron Paul and as the Chinese and as economists, as our debtors have said, if they continue the QE2, QE3 devaluation of the dollar. we're dead already financially. It's like Wrath of Khan, where Spock goes in to fix the generator and it gets radiated and he's stumbling around about to die, and Captain Kirk tries to go through the door to be with his friend and help him, and they hold him back, you know, the doctor and the engineer, and they say, he's dead already. All of this is the Republican and Democratic prostitutes of the elite pimps who have maneuvered America from the greatest creditor nation in the world to the greatest debtor nation in the world, and funded their global corporate empire off our blood, sweat, and tears, and our name, which they've destroyed. All of this has been about maneuvering us into the docks to be mothballed and then cut up into scrap. And discrediting liberty and the free market once and for all, blaming everything they've done on that. And so their plan is going very well as far as...
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Going to your phone calls, but coming up, we're going to get into this report. Anthrax attack. Remember that right after 9/11? Justice Department destroys FBI case, then does a 180 reversal days later. Now, the fourth guy they tried to frame for it. Remember the first three it turned out hadn't done it? The fourth guy they took to an FBI psychiatric facility. He was a bioweapons researcher and killed him. And it was only in two newspapers, a minor footnote, that while he was in their custody, he OD'd on prescription Tylenol. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, they finally found a patsy they could get rid of. But it's actually come out in court documents who really did have the anthrax and how the whole operation was launched. And it was the most weaponized form ever found. Remember, they first claimed that somebody made it in a bathtub? They had to keep the fear going after 9/11 and have a news story to distract you from looking too closely at the ridiculously shoddy first report of 9/11, that regardless of what you believe really happened on 9/11, six of the 10 commissioners say it's a complete fraud, and Governor Graham has come out and said the U.S. government did protect the hijackers with the Saudis on MSNBC. Well, we already knew that at the time. It was in the Associated Press and Newsweek that the hijackers were trained at U.S. military bases with super secret security clearances, and no one knew why. And then that just got swept under the rug, too. Again, they're telling you that a red barn is blue. Ladies and gentlemen, it's red. America is under red level attack. The criminals have taken over. They've gotten away with bloody murder, and they're running wild in an orgy of corruption and setting up a police state grid so they can continue doing what they're doing at an even greater level. Okay, that's coming up. Steve Watson did a detailed report. Government admits Bruce Ivins did not have access to necessary lab equipment. That's the guy they deep sixed, 6 feet under real quick. It's like, well, we got to get another patsy here. This stuff's coming back on us. He's going to have an accident. They could have bound his arms and legs, put a gag on him, and hung him dead with his throat slit off a front porch and said, no, there's nothing suspicious here. Look at Big Pharma's girlfriend. You know, and the son fell down the stairs and died days before. There's nothing going on here. Nothing suspicious at this house. Oh, the guy with Rupert Murdoch, who could bring him down and bring the prime minister down, who was hiding, saying men were after him in his house. He's dead within minutes of the body being found. Oh, not suspicious. Okay, I'm going to go to your calls. Coming up, city council attempts to outlaw free speech and freedom of assembly. And this is a pattern all over the country. I was on Mancow Mueller's show this morning, and he could hardly believe it when I was reading him these articles. I know, I can hardly believe it, but it's that's what's happening. They're artificially trying to transform our society. I'm going to get into toll roads all over the country. We're paying for them three times over, and that's how they sign the deals up. That's how this is done worldwide. Central Texas toll roads need more state subsidies than expected. builder of Texas roads may default on Indiana project, Centra of Spain. Saw another Statesman article where they were exposing that he was Al Gore's former chief of staff, that he was for forced inoculations and for the Napa superhighways and toll roads and eminent domain. But it doesn't matter. He tells you how much he loves Jesus. He now reminds me of like Robert Tilton or something up there. We're going to be talking about Rick Perry at the start of the next hour after Tarpley joins us. Got some interesting things I'm going to cover with Rick Perry that I told you was going to run. I live in Austin. I got more insiders over there than you can shake a stick at. Rick Perry scared to death of me, which is kind of creepy. I was told that by a Fox News host, a Fox News executive, by people that work for Perry. He sent his head media person to Endgame that premiered 3.5 years ago that he was going to be the presidential nominee in 2012. And believe me, that's who the establishment is planning to put into the presidency. His name is Rick Perry, and he's going to run with Michelle Bachmann or Sarah Palin, as I told you a year ago. The word was Palin then, but they may drop her like an old shoe. It'll be a combo hard to beat. And if you're like Obama idiots who got all into your guy winning and, oh, he's going to save us and all this, look at who's behind him. The same people behind Obama are behind Perry. And I know conservative, mainline conservatives, are going to get conned again. But not as quickly and not as easily. And they're going to wake up quicker. And so will Democrats last time. It used to take 4 to 6 years for folks to wake up to a politician being a globalist and lying to them. Now it takes a matter of months. Congress has never had a 9% approval rating. So you guys just keep doing what you're doing. Also, Iran's acceleration of its nuclear program angers the West. And we talked to Bob Baer, the famous CIA officer today, and talked about the Jerusalem Post saying, no, it's not true. Israel isn't going to strike Iran in September. We're trying to get him on to break that down. We got that news. More on what's really happening with the whole budget deficit. Well, as Ron Paul has said, as the Chinese have said, it's all smoke and mirrors. They're already defaulted. They're already hyperinflating the currency, and they've signaled they're going to completely devalue it. That's why every commodity is going up, especially gold and silver. It is a planned implosion of the world economy to go into receivership to the big six mega banks, who will then offer global VAT and carbon taxes, and most people will go along with it because Bill O'Reilly has been endorsing it. We've got to pay our debts. We've got to get square. It's the right thing to do. And I hear conservatives calling in going, I'm ready to not get my military check, so my children have a future. Your children don't have a future if we don't get rid of fractional reserve banking and arrest the banksters and get rid of the Federal Reserve that got set up in 1913. If we don't get the power of the issuance of currency and credit back under Congress, no amount of austerity, no amount of cutting will ever fix anything. It's their plan to cut and screw everything up. Yes, dependency is bad with welfare because it makes you dependent, and now the bankers have an army of people that will burn every city in the U.S. if they don't get their welfare checks, and now they'll hold the public hostage with their welfare queens. They work for the corporate welfare queens. It's pressure from below and above. That's the real paradigm, not what scumbag, fake, New World Order, Al Gore-loving Republicans tell you, like Rick Perry! And I got up here and told you what Obama was going to do, how he was going to pimp you and Mac Daddy slap you up one side and down the other, how he was going to intensify wars and torture and spending and banker raping because of his whole history, because of all the banks financing him. It doesn't mean John McCain was going to save you. He was bankrolled by the same Don King type people. Just like a Don King boxing match. Come on, folks, it's simple. Grow up. You're like, well, Perry's going to be better than Obama. Oh, really? They need a new birdcage liner. They don't want you looking at the bird, the globalist. They want you looking at the birdcage liner and what the bird does to the birdcage liner. And I'm sick of Obama. Give me a new birdcage liner. Rick Perry. And in slides Rick Perry. And then they'll have another Democrat to save you. On and on and on as they march us down the rat hole of the New World Order. Chris, Kyler, Pamela, Sean, Brian, we're going to all of you and more. Chris in Canada, you're on the air. Welcome.
Hey. Hey, Alex.
Hey, buddy.
Hey. My question mostly is in regards to how the economic breakdown, devaluation of the American dollar.
It's going to be absolutely horrible. And the government's going to pose as the savior the whole time when they engineered the stinking thing. It's going to be hellish.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, what did Geithner say? He said it's going to be the worst thing in our lives and last a long time. No kidding. They planned the whole deal. I told everybody this. Of course QE2 didn't fix anything. Of course tax increases aren't fixing anything. It's meant to destroy everything because the banksters are all exempt from the taxes they put on us. And you moron liberals won't get that through your stinking scumbag heads. Ah! I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Great. I live in a pretty sheltered area, kind of central western Canada, north of Montana, North Dakota. Most people here don't know what's going on in western or eastern Canada, much less the rest of the world. So, you know, I'm having a little bit of trouble waking people up.
Well,
here.
Not knowing what's going on is good. The New World Order likes that. That means they're not conspiracy theorists.
Exactly.
Being informed is evil, sir. In fact, you're even able to speak, which is a sign of evil. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, I'm just wondering, would you or your staff want to do a little more, maybe a short special on what's maybe how this would affect Canada?
Yeah, they're going to bankrupt you last because it's one of the Queen's holdings. And they always tell Ireland, you're the best in Europe now because you're doing what the globalists say. And then as soon as they enter the EU receivership contract, they're imploded and told they're the worst. They are going to absolutely implode Canada, devalue your currency, land grab, and then pose as your saviors. And they already have anti-free speech laws, anti-gun laws, CPSing your kids. Canada has some of the nicest, most gullible people on average, just as gullible as Americans. And you will be the last to be absolutely imploded.
What I was thinking is by the time it gets here, it's too late.
Yeah. No. They're going to gang rape you last.
What about, do you know much about Harper? I know he went to Bilderberg in 2003.
I mean, Harper had a no-confidence vote, so the Queen suspended Parliament three times for him, and Canadians don't want to admit that their whole system is run by the Queen of England under imperial charter, under the Governor General. So I get emails saying, well, she suspends Parliament, there's going to be a new election. No, in two of the three cases, they just suspended it because they were about to vote their job and kick him out of there and bring in a new prime minister because they didn't like her agenda.
Do you know of any, like, the political parties here, are any of them, do any of them stand any chance?
What needs to happen is not even go off parties, go off individuals and a track record that they do what they say they're going to do. Even if a politician, you don't totally agree with them, if they're better overall and always do what they say they're going to do, they're good. But if somebody doesn't have a track record and promises you a bunch, then you got to look out. The biggest thing is waking the general public up, as Thomas Jefferson said, that tyrants will disappear like phantoms at dawn. Okay, I need to continue with your calls. I want to continue with your calls, and we have guests coming up, too. You know, I start ranting and raving and screaming because we got to break people's trance. I never yelled and screamed because it was an effective way to wake people up. I yelled and screamed because I get angry, because it's so obvious to me. Look, they're robbing us. They're scamming us. It's like Rowdy Piper and They Live trying to make the guy put the sunglasses on. Just look. Just don't trust them. Look beneath the surface. Start questioning. That's the metaphor. You put the glasses on, you see the monsters. Well, you start investigating history and current governments. That's why I woke up, folks. I'm a history buff. And if you know history, this stuff is always going on. And the fact that they were telling us that you're a conspiracy theorist, if you're saying don't trust government. I mean, if you don't stay on top contractors building your house, you're in for a ride. If you don't stay on top employees, you're in trouble. If you don't stay on top your relationship, you're in trouble. But, oh, let's just let the national security apparatus do whatever it wants. Governments killed 200 plus million people last century, and they're gearing up to make that look like child's play. Let's go to Kyler in Texas, then Pamela and others. Kyler, you're on the air.
Hey, Alex.
Hi, welcome.
Hi. Hey, I've woken up. I've watched your documentary.
Can you speak up for me? Because I can barely hear you.
Okay. Woke up. I watched your documentaries and stuff, and I saw, like, the work that you've done. And like, a lot of the stuff you did, I didn't believe it a lot, but I looked it up, and I confirmed it. It was pretty excited to know that it's real.
It is exciting in a scary way. How old are you, Kyler?
15.
Well, you saw one of my films and looked up the information?
Yeah, especially like the radio show, like right now you say a lot of stuff and I'm like, wow, crazy. And then I go look it up, you're right.
Have you looked up the Rockefeller Foundation with patents on cancer viruses in your vaccines and sterilants in your vaccines?
Yep, all that stuff. Right.
Yeah, because, you know, now, me personally, I get mad when I learn they're doing that. And when I see TV ads telling people to go line their kids up, and I see little kids with their parents at grocery stores, I want to run up and warn them, please don't inject your children. And sometimes I do, even though they get mad at me, because I know these murderers are soft killing our children, and I'm angry about it because I'm normal. I'm normal. And you're normal now, too, Kyler. This stuff existed before you knew it existed. Now you know it exists. Do you have a burning desire to warn everyone you know?
Yeah, pretty much. Like, the other day I was at Walgreens, and then, like, they were like, oh, we'll come to parties to give you the immunizations for the flu shot. And I'm like, why in the heck would they come over to parties to give you a flu shot? What are they?
Now, that was a psychological warfare pitch. I've read about that. They say the word party, associating getting the shot with a party. And it's also meant to familiarize, like, party, friend, I'm friend, come close. And then right there, you know. Of course, the mindless drone giving you the shot is compartmentalized, doesn't even know why they're told to give you that script.
Yep. Anyways, I wanted to talk about, like, the education system today because, like, we're being totally brainwashed and indoctrinated. Like, I'm sure because you have kids and you probably know what's going on.
Well, mine are homeschooled, but they do go to some homeschooling school events. But even there, we run into some of it. But it's great folks overall. Tell me what they're teaching you at the government training camp.
They're teaching us basically to buy into evolution, everything, and, like, Darwin. And then they're also teaching us about global warming and overpopulation. And then I have a book here with me that talks about it. It's by Thomas L. Friedman called Hot, Flat, and Crowded. And basically, we were forced to read the entire thing, every single word, and then take quizzes over it at the end of every week, and to basically just brainwash ourselves with it. And I'll read you the back of it real quick if you want.
Oh, yes, tell me.
It says, green is the new red, white, and blue.
Ah!
Right, so let's just destroy the American flag for the sake of defending the earth. And it goes on to say, Thomas L. Friedman declares and proposes that a national strategy is needed to save the planet and to make America healthier, richer, more innovative, more productive, and more secure. Green-oriented practices and technologies are the only way to mitigate climate change.
And by the way, all of that sounds good, but when you get the real documents, it's about cutting resources off to countries so they implode financially. And then here's the London Guardian sending in the UN green helmets. That's the new group. After your country's imploded or after they use weather weapons on you, UN wants Green Helmet Climate Army, UN Security Council to consider climate change peacekeeping. So see, when they invade Libya, it's peace. And when they invade your country, it's for the earth. Good job, Kyler. More. The midway point in this global transmission. I will get to Pamela, Sean, Brian, Annetta, Mike, and others when Webster Tarpley leaves us at the start of the next hour. I got to get into Rick Perry. The NAPA superhighways are back, charging people three times for already paid for existing roads. And it's even in the Texas papers admitting it's a scam. I heard two different local talk radio shows yesterday talking about how it was a scam. I mean, I didn't hear this stuff 5 years ago, where the star witness is killed in the Rupert Murdoch case, and the police say nothing to worry about, and the public suddenly doesn't buy it spontaneously. Or the banksters come out with a new bailout and no one buys it. Or they're pushing more toll road scams and no one buys it. So much good is happening. The carbon taxes are falling apart in Europe and Australia. The big papers in Australia say that it's dead. Now, they play possum. It is technically dead, but they're going to try to bring it back. The point is, we kick globalist hind in when we take the field and stop being gullible and buying into whatever narrative they put out. I mean, it's like being a child. Being 3 years old, my parents saying Santa comes down the chimney, and I said he's too fat to come down our chimney. We had a little bitty chimney. And my dad sat there for about 10 minutes trying to convince me, and he finally said, son, you're right, there is no such thing as Santa Claus. It's the difference between fiction and nonfiction. You know when you're reading a fiction book. When these politicians put out this fake narrative, it is a fiction. The whole debt limit ceiling garbage is a fiction. We're technically already defaulted. The communist Chinese have said that. Ron Paul has said it. Every economist we've had on have said it. They're going into QE3. Bob Chapman said two months ago, he said they're going to continue QE3, and they already are. And he gave the numbers. And then now they admit they are. But they said they weren't. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, we've reached a new level of lying. And that shows the ruling class is in trouble. We're going to talk to Dr. Webster Griffin Tarpley of history, also an economist here in a moment. He just got back from a long stay in Tripoli under bombardment. What's the news? Is Gaddafi really going to leave? Why are the French now saying, hey, let's have a ceasefire? What's really going on? If anybody knows, Tarpley knows. Big scandal brewing in the papers in Italia, in Italy, because now it looks like Berlusconi has been shipping arms into Gaddafi. You talk about playing both sides of it. It's like Halliburton when their sanctions against Iran had a side deal where only they could ship things in. Dick Cheney, man, these people are evil. But continuing, I want to tell you about a few of the special offers we've got. Remember, we're not funded by the New World Order. We're not funded by David Rockefeller. Plus, these are great films and books at incredibly low prices. We are funded by you. And if you believe in what we're doing, buy the books, the videos, the DVDs, the T-shirts, the ball caps. I mean, we've got so many great shirts that help meet like-minded people and get the word out and support our broadcast. We have so many great films that I've produced. Also, the best films I see, we carry in the shopping cart at Infowars.com. It's quite a large apparel/book/film store. So check it out online. We also have our Amazon account. It's rated, whatever it is, 4 or 5 stars, whatever the most stars are you can get. We've got links to all those at Infowars.com right now. We got 3 different shopping carts to choose from. We've got a deal running till the end of the month because Bohemian Grove's going on right now. 2 films that are normally $24.95 together, Dark Secrets Inside Bohemian Grove and The Order of Death. $19.95 for this bad boy to really see what the globalists are into. And then I comboed it. You get it free. When you get this film for $19.95, free, Invisible Empire, New Order Defined, our latest produced film out of my operation, directed by Jason Burmes, a long film, excellent film, gets into Bohemian Grove, gets into Skull and Bones, gets into narcotics trafficking, gets into their entire system, their Invisible Empire, a New World Order Defined, great film, free with the two. So you get 3 films for $19.95, 3 films for $19.95, and Big Brother, the Orwellian Nightmare Come True, Mark Dice's latest book, absolutely free. 3 films and a book, $19.95. And we don't really make much profit on that, but we make some, and it helps run the operation. And while you're there, we've got a lot of other books and videos and T-shirts available at Infowars.com. And I almost forgot. Again, I tend to not plug for an hour and a half and then go into Plugville because if we don't, we also won't be here. You need to understand that. We'll run out of gas. So buy your war bonds in the fight against the globalist, Infowars.com. We didn't go with a cheap water bottle that does hundreds and hundreds of gallons. We went with a Made in America, again, made in the USA filtration system, stainless steel, BPA-free. This is the Mercedes-Benz of portable, handheld, stainless steel water filter. I think they're $34, It costs us like 25 or something. So the point is, and that's when we bought them in bulk. You can't get these in stores for that price. So InfoWars.com, super high quality water filtration system. And it says InfoWars.com down on the bottom of this high quality system. So available at InfoWars.com or by calling 888-253-3139. Now, going to Webster Griffin Tarpley. Dr. Tarpley, do you want to get into the Libya situation first, the economy, or this whole News Corps scandal where the star witness magically dies and within minutes of finding the body, the cops say, not criminal, go away, we're not going to release details, go to sleep. I mean, everything is accelerating. The world is getting crazier and crazier. So we talk about the war, the so-called default, or the News Corps situation.
Why don't we do Libya first and then move on quickly to the other two?
Sure, go ahead.
The whole thing. Basically, on Libya, I think the main thing to understand is that the coalition of aggressor imperialist countries that's attacking Libya is tending to fall apart. We have Norway, which provided 10% of the airstrikes on Libya with their six jets, have cut that to four, and by the end of the month, it'll be zero. So Norway is essentially going home. The Netherlands had provided six jets. They now say they will not do any more bombing. They will only do the no-fly zone, the interdiction that is going on there. And here in the United States, we just had a vote on the Kucinich resolution in the House of Representatives 10 days ago, where you had 229 warmongers lining up against 199 who were in favor of cutting the funding and ending this military adventure. So that is a margin.
Hold on. It's not military. It's kinetic, and it's peace. Tarpley, don't be a conspiracy theorist here.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm just incorrigible. It's a 15-vote margin. Now, think about that. 15 votes. You're 15 votes away from having the House on record against this war and in favor of cutting off the funding. That would be a tremendous political
They normally sign on headlong to anything. This is big to show that they have almost become anti-war or anti-peace, I'm sorry, in the House of Representatives.
Well, a lot of these are people from the Tea Party, and again, you know, I don't agree with them on much else, but on this one, I think that's fine, and they should therefore go ahead and do their thing.
Probably, I think you've been stereotyping the Tea Party. It's a very diverse group of people.
Well, the ones you see in the House of Representatives all say exactly the same thing. They have the same mantra, which I don't agree with for 1 minute. But still, let them do some good. I think it's likely that these people in the Tea Party are going to get leaned on by Wall Street. Wall Street is telling them right now.
No, they admit that Boehner is twisting their arms to give us this fake, quote, austerity package that does nothing to fix the derivatives bubble.
Yeah, we don't want the austerity and we don't want the derivatives either. But I think when you look at somebody like Mitch McConnell has gotten a message from Wall Street, raise the debt limit or else. And I think there are separate reasons that make that a plausible idea. But he's been told, do this or else, and he's going to have to force these House Tea Party guys to knuckle under. Once they've finished with that, they're going to be very humiliated and very angry, and they're going to be looking around for an issue where they can go against Obama. And Libya is the perfect issue, because here, Obama is now many, many months into impeachment territory, right? He's violating the War Powers Act. He was supposed to get permission by 60 days. That was May 20th. And then he was supposed to get out by June 20th. That was 90 days. And we're now above 120 days, and he's still going ahead with this.
Yeah, he says he doesn't need Congress. But you, describe what you saw in Libya. And then let's get into the real meat and potatoes here, Webster. What do you make of France and Italy saying they want to broker a peace deal? Is there anything to that? Is there anything to Gaddafi stepping down but then allowing real elections? What's the inside baseball on that?
Well, remember, Gaddafi, in technical terms, has no official post. Now, there's no doubt that he's the dominant personality running this entire thing. But in terms of stepping down, what do you step down from? Does it mean he has to go into exile? I don't think any of that is likely to happen, because I've seen in that demonstration that you put on your program there on Friday, July 1st. After we got finished with that, I went down and went into the crowd and talked to a lot of people, and they're all very heavily invested in Gaddafi. And I think with some reason, essentially the choice is Gaddafi or chaos. So whatever you think of Gaddafi, he's better than chaos. And from the Libyan perspective, I think even more so.
It's more like Tito in the Bosnia area. And then after he was removed, the whole place disintegrated.
Yes, that's a very good comparison. I don't think...
Okay, then why do we suddenly see France saying, okay, we want peace, and Italy saying that? What does that signal? Because they're still moving towards the September-October ground invasion.
The Italians, Berlusconi said last week that he thought the whole thing had been a terrible mistake, and that he had been forced into it by the Italian parliament. Now, the Italian parliament in this case means something calling itself the Democratic Party, which is the neo-communists. And remember, Italy has a neo-communist president, Napolitano. That guy was a member of the Italian Communist Party. So these people, unfortunately, far from being communists, work for the CIA and for Soros. That's essentially that's where they're coming from. So they're pro-war. They're pro-NATO. Warmongers.
It's the communoid banker
yes.
system.
Yes, something like that. The bankers, communists for finance capital, or something like this, which is to some degree what they always were. Right, going back to Marx. But the Italian situation is strangely enough. There, you also have a right wing opposition. It's the Northern League, right? The old Lombard League, now the Northern League, and they're demanding that this thing be brought to an end. And that would pretty much end the whole adventure, because all the key bases that are being used to carry this out are pretty much...
So is it safe to say from your research, and I would concur with this, that momentum is now shifting away from a ground invasion and the war is falling apart for NATO?
I think it may be, and it's also the case that the Libyan pro-Gaddafi forces have done quite well for themselves lately. The rebels are manic. They make these very unwise advances. And you've had two cases now in the past week where the rebels have rushed forward and then gotten mowed down, right? When you have 10 to 15 dead on the battlefield in this kind of a war, that's a lot. And if you have 100 to 200 wounded, that's a lot. And we've had that last week, and now we've apparently got it again today. So that's quite serious. So the rebels are very weak. They're a rabble in arms. The French are flying in weapons to the Western Mountains. That violates the UN resolution. The British and the U.S. are shipping in weapons through Egypt, across the Egyptian border. That violates the UN resolution. They don't care about the UN resolution. So I think the political support for this is collapsing. Also, it has to do with the tremendous financial difficulties of a lot of these governments. The real question is France and Sarkozy. And I've just seen a news bulletin going by in the crawl that the French are now willing to talk without the departure of Gaddafi being the precondition. Is that right?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Actually, yeah. They said that yesterday.
Okay, fine. So that's where
that's what I've been bringing up. Yeah,
I think it may well be that some of them want to cut their losses, because the only way they can do anything more is to have that ground invasion, and then of course you get into the body bags and a tremendous wave.
Yeah, you run into 2 million North Africans that have been handed AK-47s and grenade launchers that you witnessed in that crowd of at least a half a million ready to die. That is not going to be a cakewalk.
No, it's not. So I think this is a piece of absolute folly. Plus, it's very expensive in monetary terms. So I think it may well be that some more greater realism is coming forward, except that you've got Sarkozy and to some degree Obama who have tied their prestige to this, but especially Sarkozy. So it's going to be a big personal defeat for Sarkozy if this doesn't end with the departure.
What do you make of the Dominique Strauss-Kahn thing turning out to be a complete fraud?
Well, that I think this is an interesting scenario, and I have this from a very good French source and from a good German source too. The week after his arrest, Strauss-Kahn was going to fly to Berlin and meet with German Chancellor Merkel, and depending on the outcome of that meeting, an envoy was going to go from Berlin to Libya, to Tripoli, to meet Gaddafi and his circle. And the goal of all of this traveling was to begin to set up another reserve currency for the world, that is, some alternative supplement, maybe, at the beginning to the dollar, something that would not replace the dollar immediately. It would be the pilot project that would exist alongside the dollar.
Well, he'd been talking about the end of the dollar in the month before they set him up.
Yes, so this was what Gaddafi had he had been talking about, you know, a gold-backed currency for Africa. There are all kinds of possibilities here. But that was Strauss-Kahn's plan for the week that never was for him, because he was arrested before he was arrested on the weekend, and that week never began for him. So it means that similarly to Saddam Hussein, right? Saddam Hussein had shifted all of his money out of the dollar into the euro. The Oil for Food Fund went from the dollar to the euro due to the influence of Saddam Hussein. So in this case, it's Gaddafi, but also joined by Germany, also joined by Strauss-Kahn. So it seems that
And the reason the banksters are devaluing the dollar, they want an incremental dollar devaluation to drive down every other currency, the stated policy of global concerted coordinated devaluation. They don't want a move away from the dollar and then other currencies to go up. They want a global hyperinflationary depression to consolidate control. So this is the key juncture for the Anglo-American elite, correct?
Well, maybe we get into that because it's a complicated situation.
Yeah, let's break down the debt ceiling, the technical default the Chinese have been talking about on the other side of Webster Griffin Tarpley, then your phone calls. Then I'm getting into Rick Perry, the Al Gore former chief of staff, now being worshipped by Republicans. And if you Republicans go for Rick Perry, you're just as dumb as the Obama supporters. You people are as dumb as a box of rocks.
Before you slip into unconsciousness, I'd like to have another kiss.
All right, we got Webster 5 minutes to the next hour, then I'll get to your calls and into the whole situation with the toll roads all over the country, one of the biggest scams out there. We're exposing the whole carbon tax fraud. Next is the globalist power grab where they buy your politicians off and then they hand your existing roads over to the toll road companies who've been caught engaging in all sorts of chicanery. But Webster, looking at the economy, we suddenly have Geithner 2 weeks ago on Meet the Press saying it's going to be the worst time of our lives. It's going to be the hardest time. It's going to last a long time. So they've gone from saying we're in the middle of a boom, which everybody knew was asinine, to going, my gosh, it's going to be horrible. You better give us trillions more in bailout. You better cut your services, raise taxes, and pay it all to offshore banks. That will fix it when it's a black hole that we know is impossible to pay, induced via fraud. So where is this going? I mean, it looks like the Obama hoax, their front man to sell austerity, is absolutely evaporating.
Well, I think we have to start, first of all, with the fact that Italy has now joined Greece and Spain, Portugal, Ireland in this euro crisis. Now, once you have the 2000...
But that was planned. I mean, they're just taking... I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, planned. It's a world economic depression, right? We have London going down in 2007, 2008. We have a bubble, New York going down. Every bank in Wall Street bankrupt in September of 2008. And now you've got the same thing coming home in the European government bonds, but also the European banks. If you take a look at Commerzbank, the second largest bank in Germany, they seem to be in some kind of a downward spiral that looks very much like Lehman Brothers. And people are looking at Bank of America here in the United States in somewhat the same framework. It is a world economic depression. Now, that means that in order to get out of that, you've got to have a recovery program. What will not help you, and I repeat, not, is a chaotic, deflationary panic crash of the whole thing, which is what the Austrian school, I guess, always prefers, right? That you've got to have the highest possible unemployment, liquidate stocks, liquidate bonds, liquidate the farmer, liquidate labor, liquidate everybody. That simply won't work. Now, concerning this debt limit, the problem that you face is that the productive economy of the world is stuck together with the zombie banks, the hedge funds, and their derivatives. If you want to separate them, that is exactly what should be done. That's what I've been fighting for quite a while. If you want to know how to do that, at the top of my website, tarpley.net, there's a 5-point program that explains a whole series of measures how to do that. You've got to basically
bring Glass-Steagall back, triage the debt, arrest the banksters who the Senate committee admit have engaged in fraud.
Yeah. Ban some derivatives. Ban credit.
And give out 0% credit to small businesses.
Yeah, precisely. And all these things. At that point, you can cut loose the speculators, the zombie banks, and let them go down. But the way to do that is not to have the bankruptcy of the United States. We basically have two choices.
No. They're, at the end of their road, they mean to bankrupt us, they admit. Instead of them being bankrupted, they created the fraud to bankrupt us, but they're the authors of it, they own it, and we're not going to cut them loose. We're going to put them in handcuffs.
All right, fine, which is fine. And that, in many cases, criminal prosecutions are still long overdue from 2007, 2008. But generally, the proposition is, either the United States will put Wall Street, the hedge funds, and the rating agencies into bankruptcy receivership and a lot of them in jail, or the Wall Street characters, the zombie banks, the hedge funds, and the rating agencies will decree the bankruptcy and the destruction of the United States. Now, in that case, you get neo-feudalism. You get something worse than what you had in Europe during the Dark Ages, because at least they had a church to provide.
Well, that's what I want to talk about, because, I mean, this is not something to scare you, folks. I'm scared. I mean, the road we're going down is absolute, total post-industrial, complete collapse, and it's not like the Depression when most people were self-sufficient. Back in
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
By the way, this came out a few weeks ago and fell under the radar, but the Malawi Voice is reporting, and we've done some ferreting and confirmed it, 131 children vaccinated at gunpoint in Africa. And the UN's been caught doing this through their subsidiaries before. That's coming up. Webster Tarpley, finishing up with you, and I appreciate you joining us and your courage to go to Libya. And hopefully we'll have a end of this bloody war for all sides. Continuing, from your economic analysis as an economist and a historian, uniquely suited, in the 4 minutes we've got left, if the current course of global austerity and banker hegemon continues on its current trajectory, what is going to happen to this country and the world?
Well, the immediate threat now is this question of the debt limit, and I'm in favor of raising the debt limit with no conditions attached, because if you don't do that, what is it? We're told that we don't need the government, we only have the market, and the market is more than enough. I'm afraid this is false. This is historically not true. You would get chaos. You would indeed get a catastrophe. I think the catastrophe is much worse than what Geithner has talked about. Specifically, the dollar is a reserve currency. What does that mean? It means that central banks all over the world have their reserves in dollars, right? That's less than it used to be. Some euros, some gold, some other things. But the vast majority still dollars. Now, if the United States doesn't pay on the Treasury bonds will have a sharp collapse in price. That means interest rates go up. The dollar will have a sharp collapse, maybe a panic. Maybe you'll have finally everybody rushing for the exits. And at that point, the central bank reserves of the world will be devalued. At that point, you will have a world panic. And a world panic is measured in megadeaths. It's measured in millions of people who won't make it. Maybe not here, some here, I'm sure, but you know, maybe more in Somalia or some other poorer parts of the world. Therefore, if you want to have a new reserve currency, that's a great idea. But then again, you need something that looks very much like the U.S. Treasury market, with $1 trillion a day of turnover and the ability to take just about any amount of paper and turn it into money, trillions, if necessary, of dollars, any day. That's liquidity.
So you're going with the model of flooding the people with money, because they're already devaluing, they're just flooding the banksters with money.
I would avoid the default. I think the default would be catastrophic, and people who say otherwise are wrong. Now, in terms of what to do, fight back.
But Webster, the defaults already technically happened. The Chinese government said
The Chinese are crybabies.
Really? Ron Paul, look, debating debt ceilings, they've already created a debt system impossible to pay.
Yeah, it has to be reformed. But the way to do it is not a deflationary panic crash that gets you worse than the Great Depression within a couple of months. The Chinese should butt out of the internal affairs of the United States. I'm not interested in the Chinese whining that they bought these bonds. That was a very foolish investment for them to begin with, so they get more or less what they bargained for. I'm not a lawyer for the Chinese, and the Republican Party seems to want to pay the Chinese before they pay the American people. I'm not for that. So I think that we don't have a default. We have not had a default, and the idea to blur the line, I think, is also misleading. Rather, what can we do? These rating agencies are attacking the United States. Now, I've often said those guys should be trembling in the dock, waiting for the sentences, dressed in orange jumpsuits, based on what they did in 07 and 08. And in Italy, the man of the hour is a guy called Michele Ruggiero, R-U-G-G-E-R-O. Michele Ruggiero is the Italian state prosecutor of Trani, T-R-A-N-I. This is down in the heel of the boot.
And he's looking into the debt rating agency fraud.
He raided them. He went with the finance guards, the Italian Guardia di Finanza. He raided the ratings agencies and demanded to know, what are your connections? Is this a conspiracy? What are you doing? That's the way to go.
All right, Webster, we'll continue to track this as it unfolds. Thank you so much for spending time with us, Tarpley.net. Follow us at Twitter, Real Alex Jones.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We are now 8 minutes into hour number three. We have not one but two guests joining us to break down the incredible developments in this whole News Corp Fox hacking situation over in England. The star witness dying mysteriously, the police who are under investigation, the head police chief of Scotland Yard stepping down, the head Metropolitan Police Commissioner stepping down magically. Then this guy dies mysteriously, and the cops, within minutes of getting to the body, say, no foul play, we're not investigating, go away. That's a sure sign there's a cover-up. Princess Diana, no foul play in 5 minutes. Dr. David Kelly, when they murdered the head weapons inspector for not going along with the WMD lies, total foul play, been proven by the Hutton inquiry in England. This woman being hung and killed out in L.A. at the big pharma chief's house. Police say no foul play within minutes. Boom. I mean, it's a telltale sign, because if cops show up and some guy's dead in the woods and he's got a needle in his arm, sure, it looks like an OD. They still do an autopsy. They say, we don't know. When they say, we know right away, that means they want to put out the official story that there's no foul play, because there was foul play. That's a telltale sign in the way they operate. And even though it's obvious when they do it so the cops who are involved in the investigation know this is the official story, you stick with it. Those announcements aren't for the public. It's for the cops. You go along with this or you're dead next. And the cases of police departments killing their own officers are legion. Or that Carnaby CIA commander being pulled over by the Houston police special unit. He stands up, they shoot him and kill him. These are executions. Okay, I want to go to Pamela, Sean, Annetta, Mike, and Mark. I apologize for making you hold for 30 minutes while Tarpley was on. And then I'm going to get into toll road news. I'm going to get into anthrax news. And I've got a Colbert video I want to play that analyzes and breaks down the whole Rick Perry thing. Not because Colbert is even being honest in his satire. It illustrates the left-right paradigm beautifully. And how Colbert's attack and the left's attack on Rick Perry will make conservatives vote for Al Gore's former chief of staff. I'm going to break this down coming up, but let's go quickly to your calls. Pamela in New York, you're on the air. Welcome.
Hi, Alex. I would like to pray a hedge of protection around you, your wife, your children, and your staff, and all your guests to you. Complete your mission.
Well, God bless you, ma'am. I need those prayers. I cherish them, and I can feel them. And I'm the only reason I'm here is because of the prayers of everyone. Thank you.
And the very measures that we have put in place to safeguard our liberties are what has become the threat to liberty itself. Now, Alex?
Yes, ma'am.
One more thing. Did you see before it was news about the man in Nashville, Tennessee, who went to the airport after taking two Viagra pills?
No, I haven't seen this.
Do you want me to read a little bit to you? You need a little humor today,
Well, I'll tell you what news agency is this from? Because we need to write about it and get our good friend Matt Drudge at DrudgeReport.com to link to it. We know he... what news source is this from?
BeforeIt'sNews.com.
Oh, yeah. No. And that's a news aggregator. So who are they reporting on? Generally, they'll have a link to the original source.
It says the Washington Fancy.
Okay, tell me the story. What's the headline again?
Man takes Viagra for TSA pat down.
Guys, pull that up. I want to see that. Man takes Viagra for TSA pat down. Sure, go ahead.
I'm a travel agent in this TSA thing. When you get going on it, I get going on it. And it just makes me want to scream, too. It's just so...
Well, CNN even reports that $20 billion a year is lost in tourism and hotels and things because of this. Has it hurt your business that what TSA's been doing?
It's down. It's down. People don't want to be touched. What's legal in the airport is illegal outside the airport.
I can't tell you how many people I know, and then people I talk to who know folks, who like to go see a boxing match or UFC or shows in Vegas, and they don't go now. They're like, why should we go? We're going to be grabbed on. How many people I know that would go to Disneyland or Disney World? I know I would have gone, but I'm not going to have my children subjected to that because I physically couldn't control myself.
Me either. Me either.
So you're hearing that from your customers that they're not traveling as much because of the groping?
Yes.
Mm.
Yes, I do.
Well, that's what the travel associations say. Okay, so read us part of the article.
Well, the bottom line is the 14-year veteran of airport security resigned shortly afterwards because he had to grope this man who went back into line like 8 times before they finally touched him. He took 2 Viagra before he got in line.
Yeah, let me read the headline. I remember the guy in the Speedos, but now we learn the rest of the story. Man takes Viagra, wears sweatpants for TSA pat-down. Nashville International Airport, we got to get this up. On InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. A Wyoming man walked through TSA checkpoint with a raging erection Tuesday, daring TSA officers and even fellow passengers to give him an invasive pat-down. I'm next, Warren Kelvin, 34, screamed as he pushed to the front of the line security, according to TSA officials. See, this takes their enjoyment away when you want it. This is a great tactic. I'm not saying I would do this myself. Kelvin had ingested 2 Viagra and wore sweatpants without boxers for the Southwest flight from Nashville to Phoenix. I thought he was carrying a baton in his pants, said Amanda Watershed, second shift supervisor at A Terminal at Nashville International Airport. And then it goes on to say that he went through the thing 4 times before they would do it, and it freaked out the people that were ordered to grab it. Well, good. It freaks people out to be grabbed. And finally, the TSA's like, I'm not, wow, this is incredible. This is incredible. Anything else?
Well, you know, this just leads me to think if on a certain day, maybe in the beginning of September, anybody who's in the airport, when they walk in, they start to take their clothes off. You know, we need a group of nudists to go in who really don't care about this stuff and just stand there and strip.
Well, it's a family show. I don't want to go much further, but thank you, Pamela, for holding. Sini in Texas, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi,
Shawnee.
Alex.
Hey.
Yes, Shawnee. I want you to know that you are in my prayers. And when I say you, I mean you, your family, your staff, their family are in my prayers. And I pray honestly for you. Okay. My second thing is, I don't know if you have heard this, and it wasn't directly told to me, but I'm awake, so I hear things when someone say something to me. I know this veteran, and we were talking one day, and he said, oh, I've been out trying to get this trailer moved onto this property, and I said, oh, what kind of property? What kind of trailer? And so he said, a farming trailer, tractor trailer. I mean, tractor that you use for farming, you know, to till the land, whatever. So he said, well, I said, what are you planning on growing on your land like that? And so he said, well, whatever the government give me to grow or allow me to grow on it. So I'm thinking maybe it's something, some kind of project they have going on with
Well, no, they do. Yes, under the executive orders, they have a martial law program where they will basically, and I can read the executive orders. You can just type in executive orders for forced work brigades for farming and industrial uses. And then they're talking about, in the Depression, they're engineering. They just want to bring us into it slowly so we don't wake up too fast like the boiling frog. They want to turn the heat up slow to put us into forced work brigades. So he's in the military, and he's talking about farming.
Yes, he's an ex-veteran that was in the military, yes.
Oh, so he's talking about getting government grants to do it.
Well, I don't know. He didn't really come out and tell me, but he did tell me that, you know, whatever the government give him to grow on the land, that's what he's going to grow on the land. So I don't know.
Amazing.
Apparently they're going to give him money to do this, because I know he's not going to just do it for free, because he's all about making money. You know what I mean?
Very interesting. Try to send us some more info on that. Anything else?
Okay. No, that's it. That's all I wanted to say. And I just wanted you to know that God is got your back. So.
Well, I need it. And you know, I just think about the responsibility I have, and then how I am just a regular person like everybody else, and the responsibility that I need to do a better job and really realize the influence I have. And so thank you for the prayers. I need it, and I am humbled. By the way, I got to reading this article a little bit closer. The Washington Fancy says in small print under the headline, your leading misleading source of politics. So I think this is satire, but still entertaining, about the man takes Viagra, wears sweatpants for TSA pat-down. That is a satire article similar to The Onion. Annetta in Virginia. Go ahead, Annetta.
Yes, hello, Alex. How are you?
Good. Welcome.
Thank you. I wanted to say thank you for doing everything that you're doing. You're helping me. And I wanted to say, as a token of my appreciation, did you get my shirt? I sent you a shirt.
I get a lot of shirts. What did it say on it?
It had geoengineering in the front with the pyramid and everything. And in the back it says, we the people. And it has, you have been warned in the back.
Yes, I got it. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. I just want to let you know that I'm, you know, letting everybody know. And that's one of the ways that I'm doing it.
What do you think about all of this news we've been covering?
I think it's just ridiculously horrible.
But things have got to get bad before they get better.
Exactly, and I think it's the calm before the storm, and I think everybody's waking up and doing their part.
Well, that's the good news, Annetta. Sorry we got to jump to break. Thank you so much. We'll get to Mike, Mark, Richard, Doug, and others, but I've got to get to this Rick Perry thing on the other side. I'm going to play the video and stop and start it and point out the propaganda that's in it. You see, the liberal and conservative fake movements prop each other up. Just because Stephen Colbert attacks somebody doesn't mean... Okay, I'm not going to have time to play this whole five-minute piece, but the video's up on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. And Stephen Colbert... A spinoff of John Stewart, and his brother runs the New York Stock Exchange. His name's not Stewart. They sell this globalist model and make fun of conservatives, make fun of Ron Paul and others. And so when conservatives and good people see Stephen Colbert making fun of Rick Perry, people think, well, he must be a good conservative. And they make fun of Jesus and they make fun of Christians. Rick Perry is cynically going to all these prayer meetings. He's, again, Al Gore's former chief of staff in Texas, forced inoculations, Napa superhighways, toll roads, the list goes on and on. But by Colbert attacking him, that actually helps him with his base. See, people don't understand that. And then Colbert goes on and attacks separation of church and state, implying that a presidential candidate can't pray or be a Christian or can't go speak to Christians. This is very, very dangerous. That's why in schools, public schools, kids have been caught with Bibles just in their bag and they'll confiscate them. That's not separation of church and state. Separation of church and state says the state can't say there's an official subgroup of religion that you've got to follow and that you've got to go to church at this date and that government can make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or the press or the right of the people to peaceably assemble for a redress of grievances. First Amendment. So this is real tyranny that they put out as joking and funny, and people actually think it's illegal. It's illegal for Rick Perry to go speak to a group of Christians. And then Christians see Perry being bashed and think, oh, he must be good. This is how the left and right prop each other up. Here it is.
But I am intrigued by one candidate who hasn't declared yet. Texas governor and future Josh Brolin role, Rick Perry. And I am not the only one who is sporting a Texas Longhorn.
The new infatuation is Rick Perry, governor of Texas.
I'm very interested in Rick Perry.
Who's your dream candidate to get into the race?
I would love for Rick Perry to get into it.
This man needs to be president.
I completely agree. This man needs to be president. We haven't had a Texas governor in the White House for almost 3 years. Think of all the uncleared brush we built up. And folks, Perry may be going for it. Because on August 6th, he is holding a rally called The Response.
This is Governor Rick Perry. And I'm inviting you to join your fellow Americans.
I told you he'd announce then.
And fasting on behalf of our nation. With the economy in trouble, communities in crisis, and people adrift in a sea of moral relativism, we need God's help. I sincerely hope you'll join me in Houston on August the 6th and take your place in Reliance Stadium with praying people, asking God's forgiveness.
Yes, come pray and fast at Reliance Stadium, but bring your wallet, because at NFL concession stands, even nothing costs $12. Governor Perry knows that prayer is the only way to fix our problems, folks. As he told a group of donors, with the tough challenges facing America, quote, it's time to just hand it over to God and say, God, you're going to have to
fix
this.
That's a real quote.
Inspiring words. Perry has looked at our problem squarely in the eye and said, I got nothing. Jump in anytime here.
This is all an attack on Christianity. The only group it's okay to attack.
Of course. After this, the atheists took a break from scratching in God we trust off our nickels to attack the governor.
The Freedom From Religion Foundation is arguing that Perry's attendance violates the separation of church and state.
This is exclusively Christian, and it is absolutely crosses the line of church and state.
Not true, godless man cube.
Attack on the First Amendment.
The response rally is open to everyone. Its website clearly states that people of all ages, races, and backgrounds will be in attendance to proclaim Jesus as Savior. See, it doesn't cross the line between church and state. It erases it.
All right, let's stop right there. And it goes on. That is a brazen front line. It goes on for three more minutes. Attack on the First Amendment. Of course, the First Amendment's freedom of assembly. Rick Perry can go speak anywhere he wants to whoever he wants. I mean, presidents speak to Muslim religious meetings. Do they attack the Muslims and freak out and hyperventilate over that and talk about separation of church and state? They're saying that a political candidate who's not even announced, even if he has announced, can't go speak to a group of Christians. That's like saying you can't be a Christian and be president. Why do they only attack Christianity? They would never have a show making fun of Buddhists. They would never have one making fun of Muslims. Why are they attacking Christianity? Because the tenets of Christianity, if they were actually looked at, are the opposite of the New World Order anti-human system that we're all just animals, so let the globalists do whatever they want with us and we don't have any free will. So an attack on the First Amendment by a bunch of fake liberals who are really Nazi anti-American scum. something. When it all crashes down, what would it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? We're going to two guests, one in Japan via video Skype, the other in Britannia, here in just a moment. Before we go to them, I also want to get a little bit into the cops rolling out the iPhone apps to face scan you. Told you that was coming. Little tidbit of news. They've for years had street pole cameras up scanning your faces already. But I wanted to tell you about eFoods Direct one-year food supply giveaway. Each week in July, eFoods Direct will be giving away an entire one-year supply of storable foods to a lucky winner. That's over $1,700 worth of free food you can store for you and your family for emergencies or until you need it with a 15-year shelf life. To sign up, all you need to do is go to InfoWars.com or PrisonPlanet.com and click on their banners, or simply go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex, eFoodsDirect.com/Alex, enter to win. No purchase is necessary to enter. We will be announcing the winners each Friday on the show after they are contacted by eFoods Direct first. And they got a whole lot of big specials running right now that are about to end. eFoodsDirect.com or 800-409-5633. Also, I want to tell you about PureWaterFreedom.com. Made in America, whole house, tabletop, water bottles, under the sink. They got the whole system for you to affordably remove fluoride and other toxins from your tap water. Visit one word, PureWaterFreedom.com. They have a full line of household filters, as I said, a whole variety of them. The reverse osmosis systems will filter radioactive isotopes that they admit are building up all over the U.S. from Fukushima and the big fires at Los Alamos. And I said their filters are made in the USA. Infowars.com to find their banner, or go to PureWaterFreedom.com today to take control of your food and water supply. Again, both those sponsors, eFoodsDirect.com for food, PureWaterFreedom.com for water. And lastly, or another way to really take control, is backyard food production. When crisis hits and food is scarce, you want to have the tools to protect the ones you love. Marjorie Wildcrab is a nationally recognized expert in backyard food production. She's got amazing DVDs and audio CDs. She offers an affordable video tutorial that is the fastest way to learn how to grow an abundance of food with limited space. Just don't do it up in Michigan or they'll arrest you. That's how much they don't want you to. Take the first step in getting off the grid today. Go to backyardfoodproduction.com. That's backyardfoodproduction.com. This video will supply you with a step-by-step reference that could save your life. Go to backyardfoodproduction.com and learn the essential tools needed to be in charge of your food supply production. Check out the video, go to backyardfoodproduction.com or see their banner on Infowars.com. That's backyardfoodproduction.com. And lastly, every Tuesday or Wednesday, and it's going to start being daily updates soon, we have an exclusive, detailed article, photos, videos, you name it, on key subjects that wake people up that go out specifically to the InfoWars insiders. It's absolutely free. You go to the top of InfoWars.com and you just sign up there at the top. You just put your email in and boom, you'll get the exclusive emails, videos, photos, articles. And the one today I helped work on with Kurt Nimmo is Tyrants Gone Wild, and it just boils down the banning of free speech, the banning of gardens, the attacks on liberty, a whole bunch of the most recent examples, and how it really illustrates the system's getting scared. So again, go to InfoWars.com or PrisonPlanet.com. On the right-hand side, you'll see the InfoWars Insider. Just put your email in there, and it's going to be sent out at about 3 o'clock today if you want to get that exclusive information and then pass it on to your friends and family. Now, for the balance of the hour, my friends, we are joined by a couple of great researchers, and I wanted to get both of their perspectives on what's happening over in the UK right now, because this could bring down the UK Prime Minister with major geopolitical ramifications. This could bring down Rupert Murdoch and the News Corp empire. Undoubtedly, Media Matters has been caught trying to infiltrate News Corp and, quote, sabotage and, quote, destroy them. So they should get in trouble as well. So definitely there's politics here. But still, something is going on here. The main lead investigator, the main lead whistleblower that caused the police chief to be brought down, of the Metro, the head of Scotland Yard to be brought down, a News Corp exec to be arrested, in big hearings in England, was found dead. He told friends and family, they're going to kill me, they're after me. The police, within minutes of finding the body at his house, said, nothing going on, nothing suspicious, move along. And we've got all this news here. So we're joined by James Corbett of the Corbett Report and Tony Gosling of Bilderberg.org, both great journalists and researchers, to break this down. But here's the headlines coming out today. News International, that's the News Corp division in the UK, deliberately blocked investigations. London Guardian, the Murdoch rot is deeper than hacking scandal and larger than the Murdoch empire. The Excavator News. London Independent, hacking crisis edges closer to UK Prime Minister David Cameron. Also, Buckingham Palace, godsmacked by Andy Coulson's appointment as David Cameron's aides. He headed up the News of the World and these operations, now working right inside the government. News Corp stock shot back up yesterday after Murdoch, you know, denied any involvement and said that, you know, said that he knew nothing, like Sergeant Schultz. Rupert Murdoch's sewer press son attacks Tony Farrell, the police terrorism investigator, who said that 9/11 and 7/7 are inside jobs. So they're back at their normal business of covering up the truth. Gentlemen joining us, Tony Gosling and James Corbett. We talked to Tony earlier in the week. He's going to be with us in a moment. But let's first talk to James Corbett, joining us from Japan, who's been filing reports on this. What is your take on these developments?
Well, first, thank you for having me on about this, especially this story, which I think is absolutely so important right now. But I think what this story is essentially, it's an onion, and we're just peeling back the layer after layer after layer and getting closer to the heart. And I imagine we're not going to get down to bedrock. We're not going to find the heart of the onion, but we are going to peel off quite a few layers, and some heads are going to roll, whether figuratively or unfortunately, in some cases, literally, as we've already seen with the death of the whistleblower, as you already pointed out. But I think what we're seeing here, there's definitely politics going on, and there's definitely a reason that this was coming out at this time. I think the fact that Murdoch was going for the B-Sky B network and trying to consolidate the power even more in Europe, just as this came to a head, I think that's more than coincidental. But regardless of why this is happening or how it's coming out right now or how much of the truth we're going to get, I think this is still a golden opportunity for people who are trying to expose the absolute horrific, revolting, disgusting things that these vermin were doing in the name of selling a few newspapers. I mean, hacking into the phones of dead children. I mean, you just could not get any more disgusting than this. And the fact that it's a vast criminal conspiracy, I mean, this is where conspiracy theorizing meets conspiracy fact. I mean,
and the bribing of police, you've got that going on, and it's just the beginning, and now you've got the whistleblower dead, and the police say, move along. That's really suspicious.
It's not only suspicious, it actually goes to the heart of the scandal, because the question is, who do you get to investigate a death like that? It's obviously not the Metropolitan Police, who, as you say, are deeply implicated in this scandal. It's clearly not the Parliament, which is obviously going to be beholden to the Prime Minister, who's deeply implicated in the scandal. It's not the press, because obviously they're deeply implicated.
It's not Scotland Yard, maybe, because they're deeply involved. I mean, who do you get to do it?
Clearly, this is an absolute institutional breakdown, and I think for the people of Britain, this is an absolute key moment to really grasp what the power structure is and how it operates. But the way I see this, basically, I think this exposes how government is just this vast reservoir of power that's been centralized and put into this place where politicians can then be put in the back pockets of media moguls or whoever has the money to buy them up, and they can put their snoot into the vast reservoir of power and drink from it whenever they need it, whenever they need a regulation changed or a law enforced, or wherever they need Scotland Yard to look the other way. And this exposes that dark heart, which is why it's such an important story. And I hope people are really following this closely, because I think basically we're vampire hunters, and there's the New World Order vampire, and we've got a big, fat wooden stake in our hand, ready to drive it through their heart. And I
sure
think this story is something we can use to do that.
I want to come back to James Corbett of CorbettReport.com here in just a moment, but going to former BBC investigator, radio host, and Bilderberg sleuth, Tony Gosling. Tony, looking at this, clearly the old BBC order is in trouble. Clearly, Murdoch was consolidating power and his political minions. So there's a power struggle going on here, but you add this death to this. I mean, who would stand to gain by the investigator dying? They admit that this could bring down the prime minister. What can you tell us about your intel being there in England and all your media sources about the mysterious death of the whistleblower who we know told his neighbors that they're coming to get me? You know, I'm hiding in my house with the lights off. And then he's found dead, and the police within 20 minutes say, move along, not suspicious, and don't give us any details. What do you know about Mr. Hoare?
Yeah, Sean Hoare. He was a kind of old traditional style Fleet Street journalist, someone who'd been working on tabloid papers for many years, from before the Murdoch era. So he was kind of an interesting character because he was quite an honest guy. And he obviously didn't like the kind of work that that they were putting him to. Thankfully, BBC Panorama interviewed him before he died. So we've got all of his information on record. But of course, that doesn't mean to say he can stand up in court now and testify against Andy Corson. And it seems quite clear that the guy's been assassinated. It's Bedfordshire Police that will investigate it. And, of course, they've already come out with some statement from their PR department saying that there's nothing suspicious here. And it's a bit weird, Alex, because the last time I was talking to you earlier in the week, the police were stood over Sean Hoare's body, scratching their heads and wondering what was going on. It was just literally, just the story broke just literally after I was speaking to you. But I think... what James was talking about there, what is at the heart of this onion? I think what we've got here is becoming clearer and clearer that the links between these three major institutions, that is Downing Street and News International and also the Scotland Yard, are Masonic links. This is one of the things that's come out in many little bits and pieces of books over the years.
It's the Masonic Mafia. That's been big national news in England, for those that don't know, that you can't become a judge or a high-level barrister or even get a job now if you're not a Mason, and that's a form of discrimination, and you're saying there's that nexus point between the head of News of the World going to work for Cameron and the police. Please continue.
Yeah, so I think it's becoming pretty clear. It even came out in a Guardian article about 3 weeks ago that one of the characters involved in this affair from News International had been going round. Actually, he managed to recruit a Masonic police officer who went round recruiting various tax officials. We're talking about customs officials, people like this who had access to private information for the specific purpose of selling that information to News International and giving them the guarantee that there would be no prosecution because he was a senior police officer. This was all happening within Masonic lodges in central London. So that's actually exposed. And it was fascinating to hear Simon Hughes, the chairman of the Liberal Democrat Party, on Newsnight, which is the BBC's main news programme in the evenings here, last week, actually saying, we have to make sure that whoever's in charge of this judicial inquiry into phone hacking, because of the horrific nature of, you know, the hacking into phones of dead soldiers and this kind of thing, and this is what's upset the establishment so much in Britain, and we have to make sure that this is not a Freemason. And this was actually said on national television on the main news programme. So it's not just me saying this. This is the highest echelons of the Liberal Democrat Party making it quite clear that they want to make sure that there is no suspicion that the judge in charge of this judicial inquiry into phone hacking is in any way connected through some sort of secret society with some of the main players involved. This kind of thing has come out through really simply through looking at interesting connections between individuals, revolving door syndrome, you know, where they're working at News International, suddenly they pop up working at Downing Street, and then suddenly they disappear and pop up again at Scotland Yard.
How is common purpose involved? I mean, this is sensational to have even the government talking about we can't have Masons investigating this. I mean, sensational is the only word for those that don't know. They love to use the secrecy.
Being a bit generous to the Liberal Democrats saying that they are government, even though they are in the coalition, they're very, very much the junior partner. And because Nick Clegg is such a weak character, that's one of the reasons why I say that. You know, he's the Liberal Democrat leader, but he's basically, he's simply the fag, the public school boy fag from public school of David Cameron. He just runs around doing everything that David wants him to do and trying desperately to please David, who could never be pleased enough. But I was listening to all the commentary today from the House of the Parliament with Cameron really on the ropes, being interrogated by all these many legally trained MPs, and it was quite clear that he is playing exactly the same game as Rupert Murdoch was yesterday, and as some of the police have done.
Well, Murdoch played the part of a Quisling who couldn't find his pants and was like, gee, Sonny, they let me out of the nursing home to come to this.
That's right. He was exactly right. And he was saying that, we didn't know. Well, one thing I could tell you as an insider who's worked in journalism in London in the 1990s is that everybody knows, except maybe the public, that Rupert Murdoch is intensely interested in how journalists get stories. Every story that appears in one of his newspapers, which is a major sensation of any sort, he will be immediately, it doesn't matter if he's flying across from one part of the world to the other, on the phone to that journalist, how did you get that story? Well done. You know, this kind of thing. And he wants to know everything about the way his organization is operating. So for him to stand there, or actually sit down at the Culture Media Sports Select Committee yesterday and say, I didn't know, and none of this is all a big surprise.
Well, here's the issue. I want to go back to Corbett for a minute and then back to you, but going to James Corbett, more and more this is looking like it could bring down the Cameron government, but then what do we get from that, and how will this affect News International and News Corp and other divisions around the world, James?
A very important question, because we have to be very careful not to let them get us to throw them in the briar patch and give them the power to regulate free speech in the press even more. Because as you know, I mean, Britain is just a terrible place for free speech as it is. It has nothing even close to the First Amendment types of guarantees of freedom of speech. So certainly we wouldn't want to see even greater regulation of the press as a result of this, if that only indicates that basically whatever multimedia mogul billionaire can come along and buy some more politicians and have the whole scandal kick off again in the future. So I think the answer to this has to be a decentralization of power. And this is a greatly destabilizing event. And I think we could conceivably see the Cameron government fall over this at some point down the road. So it is a huge thing that's happening right now. And again, there's a lot of backroom politics taking place.
We're going to break.
One of the key things to understand about this is the establishment fighting with itself in Britain. Actually, the Conservative Party generally represents the establishment. What's happened is because of the horrendous nature of this Murdoch activity, and also the fact that he's competing in a way with the official security service. He's running his own little intelligence gathering bunker at News International. That this has really split the Conservative Party from the sort of, shall we say, internationalist conservatives to the more nationalistic conservatives. And I think that the majority of the traditional conservative with a small C Tory party absolutely.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
All over the world, governments are now prosecuting whistleblowers who expose theft, corruption. We saw the NSA involved in a bunch of thieving. One of their people blows the whistle on it. They indict him. He just got probation last week. We see this whistleblower being killed, telling neighbors, they're coming to kill me, hiding in his house in the dark. The police show up and tell the press, don't worry, nothing going on here. And then talking to Tony Gosling, he's talking about conservative members of the Conservative Party instead of the David Cameron carbon tax internationalist, who were just part two of Gordon Brown, trying to basically dominate England and control it. Is that what you were getting at, Tony Gosling?
Yes, Alex. Essentially, we're talking about a lot of retired military, a lot of retired professional people really make up the establishment. And the establishment in this country is like a big oil tanker. Cameron is trying to turn that oil tanker around, failing miserably, letting down the party. Many people in the party, including Christopher Shale, who is David Cameron's immediate boss, he died at the Glastonbury Pop Festival a few weeks ago in mysterious circumstances. He was saying in a leaked memo 2 days before he died that the Conservative Party was losing its way, we're a bunch of spivs, and this kind of thing. And so you can see what's going on here. You've got basically Cameron is a kind of implant, infiltrator inside the Conservative Party, and they've realised this now, the Tory Party, or at least many of the traditional Conservatives in the establishment, and they're trying to get rid of him because they know he'll lose the next election and destroy the economy if they let him stay.
And you've got all these deaths taking place, which shows This is only the tip of the iceberg. Blackmail, private intelligence groups, you name it going on. Stephen Corbett, what do you, Stephen Corbett, James Corbett, I was playing Stephen Corbett earlier, James Corbett, a Corbett Report. What do you make of this war on whistleblowers all over the world, whether it's the D.C. madam or whether it's NSA people or now this whistleblower, and then out of the gates, the government saying, you know, no foul play, move along?
Right. Well, it's pretty obvious what the agenda here is overall, and that's to try to discredit anyone who does step forward with information from behind the scenes, because obviously that's the type of thing that can bring down governments. And I had a report up recently about the types of organizations that are supposed to be protecting whistleblowers, like the Project on Government Oversight and other groups like that, that are supposedly about saving the whistleblowers and protecting them, but are, you know, actually funded by the very foundations that are run by the Rockefellers and Carnegies and the usual suspects who have a vested interest in making sure that the truth doesn't get out. But I think another aspect of this whole Murdoch scandal that I hope doesn't get lost, and I've got a huge video report going up in the next couple of hours on CorbettReport.com, so I hope people will get that out, because it contains some of the clips of, for example, Murdoch talking about how he tried to use his media in the United States to shape the Iraq war policy and to try to promote the Bush war doctrine.
He said that in Davos 2 years ago.
That's right, exactly, to Bilderberg or Charlie Rose, who was interviewing him at the time. And I also got the clip of the Fox PR propaganda video that they put out about how they deliberately, consciously insert global warming propaganda into as many different shows as they possibly can so that they can help indoctrinate people into the
green
agenda.
While leading the conservative movement, just like David Cameron is a wolf in sheep's clothing, leading the Tea Party opposition type folks in his country, absolutely
right.
On target.
Take a look at James Murdoch, the guy who's obviously been being groomed to take over the whole kit and caboodle once Papa Murdoch dies. He's not only a non-executive director of GlaxoSmithKline, the wonderful, nourishing manufacturer of all those good, hearty, healthy vaccines, but he's also married to a woman who works for the Clinton Climate Initiative. So we have another billionaire family that's so obsessed with carbon footprints and all of this and the neo-eugenics of depopulation. So again, it just keeps going down.
And that's why they've got Bill O'Reilly endorsing carbon taxes and VAT, because the big bankers in Murdoch are pretty much exempt from taxes. They want to raise our taxes. So in reality, they're funding Hillary Clinton and the rest of it. And
David Court paid negative taxes last year.
Yeah, we'll be. I'm going to go into overdrive. Main show's over. Internet only coming up. Stay with us. All right, retransmissions coming up. We got 5 more minutes left live. And I could have Tony Gosling, James Corbett on, Stephen Corbett on for hours, discussing this News Corp thing. This is not just about phone hacking. This is a much larger situation. That's why these deaths are involved. And I wanted to go back to Tony Gosling and then finish up with James Corbett. Tony, looking at the tea leaves, from across the pond, it looks like News Corp is floundering around, even though their stock of News International and the News Corp went up yesterday after the hearing. Do you think Murdoch's going to be able to survive this? Where do you see this going?
I really don't think Murdoch can survive, because it's like an express train, this story. There's so much more to go. I can tell you where I think this is going in the direction next, which was hinted at a couple of times in the House of Commons debate today, which is to do with the official vetting systems that are used to vet various individuals who are working in central government, and particularly in Downing Street. And this is a really explosive issue, which is being now looked at. And vetting is obviously completely nonsense. Andy Coulson, this guy, who now seems is a major criminal, has been working in Downing Street for the last 2 years. He only resigned fairly recently. But this was several people are now asking, what about this vetting system that said that Andy Coulson was a fit guy to work for you, Mr. Cameron? So, yes, this is coming home to Cameron. I think Cameron ultimately will have to resign over this.
Why are they saying this hurts the Queen?
I think the Queen is trying to stay a little bit away from it. But let's not forget, right, the vetting system is absolutely crucial. They try and keep it secret, but the company that does the London Underground security system is an Israeli firm which wasn't properly vetted. And this is run by this guy, Daniel Bodner. It's called Verint Systems, and they were Comverse Technologies until they changed their name. And as you know, this is the same company that was responsible for the massive Amdocs scandal around about 2000. And this is... Israeli military running a private firm which is running all of the security on the London Underground system. These are the kinds of lapses in vetting, which I think is where this story is now heading.
Well, they're not lapses. If they can't get British intelligence to do what they're told, they'll bring the Israelis in.
They would much rather have a company which is actually accountable to do things like public transportation, security. This is what the passengers and the people of London want. But what's happening is they're using these crooked and corrupt vetting agencies to actually implant the enemy into the heart.
Sure. Tony, it's clear we're going to have to get more updates from you this week and next week as this develops. Thank you so much for spending time with us.
And I don't Rupert Murdoch anymore. This man is Moloch.
I understand. Moloch Murdoch. Thank you, Tony. We got a minute and a half, 2 minutes. Last word, James Corbett. Go ahead.
Well, okay, just to back up what I said before the break, News Corp made a $10.5 billion or so dollars in pre-tax profit over the past 4 years, 2007 to 2010. And they paid, guess how much taxes? They paid -$4.5 billion. They actually got $4.5 billion back in taxes. So this is exactly the type of crony capitalist system that we've been unfortunately force-fed into. And that's exactly why these types of mega conglomerates are always going to be able to buy whatever politicians they need, to get whatever regulation they need, to do whatever they want. And that's exactly why I think ultimately the real solution to this is in the hands of the people, because the people vote with their dollars. And if they don't support these massive mega corporations, they will fail. I mean, we can make a difference. And I think we have to start doing that, because clearly the government's not going to do it for us. And the police agencies aren't going to do it for us. This scandal is too wide, too big. But again, I think this is a golden opportunity for people who are trying to expose this type of collusion, because here it is, right out in the open. It's playing itself out on the TV for the dumbed-down sheeple to imbibe every night, and they can't get away from it. This is a golden opportunity to shove this in people's faces and really expose what the system is doing.
Well, I like the area you got into earlier, how they lead the carbon tax groups, they lead the forced inoculation groups, the Murdoch family. They admit they propagandize for global warming taxes, and then they lead the opposition to the global warming movement so they can have it falter at the key moment. They're behind Rick Perry, Al Gore's former chief of staff in Texas. I mean, it is just incredible. And they run the fake conservatives in England, and that's coming to a head. Retransmission starts now.